The scripture reading this morning would be coming from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Thank you, brother, for that reading, that wonderful reading from 1 John chapter 3, two very precious verses for the child of God. You know, the British royal family enjoys a great deal of popularity in this country, don't they? It seems like every time there's a marriage, the television coverage is just plastered all over our television sets. It's in the newspapers, the news magazines, and there, it generates this buzz about the royal family, and everyone talks about the royal family and has questions and loves to see those beautiful weddings on the television, live news coverage. The royal family captivates our attention. They join with their nation in celebrating national historic events, holidays, great celebrations. They sponsor or participate in very many charitable, cultural, social activities. Their presence, activities, and traditional roles are very much appreciated and noticed by a lot of people in this world. The pageantry of it, the celebration of it, the ceremonies are greatly favored in the eyes of the public. It's not hard to mention the royal family to our high school students, and for them to know exactly who you're talking about. People in our country know about the royal family. Their lives draw a great amount of media attention and coverage, with photographs, with written accounts, with televised commentary on their activities, their family relationships, their rites of passage, their personalities, their attire, their behavior, their public roles, everything there is about them. The public just craves more and more information. So we have some concept of what it's like to be a member of a royal family. Some concept. Today, we shall think about the greatest royal family of all. And in our text, 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, a family trait of one born of God is described so very clearly for us. You know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. He does not practice sin. The Apostle John follows that thought by his statement of great astonishment. And that is, see how great a love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. God could have provided forgiveness of sins without extending any privilege to us whatsoever to be a part of his royal family. But his grace, his love is so very amazing that he has invited members of the human family to be part of His divine family. That's a great concept to think about. It wasn't done for any righteousness on our part. Paul, in Titus 3, beginning in verse 3, describes the life of so very many of us in our former existence when he says, "For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior appeared, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds that we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We could be members of the royal family, not on the basis of anything that we can do to pride ourselves in that, but because of the rich mercy and grace of our God, the King of our family. Isn't that wonderful? Nothing can compare to the immeasurable love of God that not only permits sinners to be forgiven of their sins, but also adopts them to be in a special family. How great a love is a phrase that really describes the quality of that love. It's glorious. It's sublime. It's not able to be measured with any measuring device. It's an ecstatic expression of great wonder, even on the part of an apostle. Included in the manner of it are the freeness of it. Not only the greatness of it, the preciousness of it, the scope of it, the duration of it. This passage exalts the great future for the children of God. Notice the strength of the affirmation. We are the children of God. That ought to just grab us. The world doesn't know us, but God recognizes us, and we shall be like Christ when He appears. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him, John said. And that word "know" carries a deeper meaning than merely able to call someone's name. The world knows that Christians exist. Surely they do. But they have no sympathy for Christians. They have no understanding for Christians. They don't understand their motives and their character and their lifestyle. Why? Because they did not know the one that Christians follow. They did not know the Lord. They hated Jesus, John 15. Those who follow the example of Jesus will be unpopular. They will be opposed in this life for the same reason that they oppose the Lord. And those who prefer to live in darkness of sin do not want their sins exposed by the light of Christ and by the light of His glorious gospel, to be reproved by the light of righteousness, John wrote in his gospel in John 3. The world may not recognize us, but God does, because He knows that we are His children. And that's what John strongly affirms in these few precious verses. In fleshly appearance, the Christian looks like anyone else in this life, other human beings. But the difference is on the inside, where it really counts, where it really becomes manifest who a person really is. It's on the inside. We will explore some of what that difference between the world and the Christian is by considering the royal family of God this morning. Let us observe, in the first place, the great fact that God has a spiritual family. God has made it possible for all people to be heirs of His. And though God has made that possible, millions of people have refused their inheritance and have rejected their birthright. The history of earthly lineage is attested by unquestionable means. The spiritual birthright is attested by a more unquestionable source, the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14 says this, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And again, in Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also. To be an heir really means that we're going to be the recipients of an inheritance, doesn't it? Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may be glorified with Him. God has a spiritual family. That is a great fact revealed to us in the Word of God. But that's not the only great fact that's there in consideration of the royal family. The family is great. The family is great. We're children of God. We've entered God's family by a, not physical birth, but a spiritual birth. Jesus called this in John chapter 3, being born again. Paul states that we're all baptized into one body in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. Paul, to his young preaching son, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the household of God is the church of the living God. So when one believes in Christ and he does what Christ said, he repents of his sins and he confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is baptized for the remission of sins, raised to walk in newness of life, thus being born again into the great family of God, he's an heir of God. He stands to gain because of an inheritance. And that sonship really brings great and wonderful results. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," Paul said, "with every spiritual blessing." Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where? In Christ. Verse 7 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, "In Him we have redemption through His blood." He's bought us back through the blood of Christ, "the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." Romans 8, 15, "You have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Father, Father." We call God our Father. He goes on to say, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God, and if children, heirs. Heirs also of God, fellow heirs with Christ." Think of the wonderful privilege of prayer. One must be a member of God's family in order to call upon God as Father and have Him open his ears and hear the words of His children in supplication, in prayer, in praise. And the Heavenly Father will hear the prayers of His faithful children. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." great facts for us in the Bible about the royal family of God and how far superior it is to any royal family on this earth. And how much more we are excited about His royal family than the one of the Commonwealth of Great Britain. Characteristics of that family? Family resemblances, if you think about that. In physical families, there are family resemblances manifested in each member. You can see a child and say, I see your father in you. Or I see your mother in you. There's a resemblance there in a family. The same is true in the family of God. How do people resemble God, though? God is a spirit. He doesn't have flesh and bones. How can people resemble God? Godliness is a characteristic, a trait, a mark that His spiritual children bear. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's how we can resemble God in the family of God. We can deny ungodliness. We cannot have an irreverent attitude of heart toward divine and holy things like God. We can deny worldly desires, inordinate desires that we can generate within ourselves for unlawful things, things that it is unlawful for a person in the family of God to desire and to possess. To live sensibly or to live soberly, level-headed in a way, with wisdom. To live righteously, our thoughts and our words and our deeds must be just and right without prejudice, without partiality. That's what it is. To live godly. An attitude that shows reverence for God in all things holy and divine and sacred, giving them proper respect in our lives. That's the family resemblance in God's royal family. Following the murder of Christ, the Jewish Sanhedrin examined the apostles of Christ in the midst of that Jewish council. And Acts 4 and verse 13 says, Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. What was the resemblance that they observed that allowed them to draw that conclusion? We know who they have been with. Because of what they're displaying, what was that resemblance? Luke writes for us there, it was their courage, their boldness to stand up knowing they would be opposed and yet proclaiming truth of God without fear and without favor. Courage, a wonderful trait. Confidence. Love for the family is another characteristic. It's natural for one member of the family to love other family members. It's a natural thing for that to be the case. Some like to go against what is natural in the world. We're told that people will become without natural affection. That we can see that played out before our eyes when we pick up a newspaper and look at it and see where some young mother has left her baby in a garbage dumpster to die without natural affection. That person doesn't know and doesn't understand, doesn't have any concept about what it is to be a part of a loving family. There is love with other family members. Even greater love should prevail among members of a spiritual family. There should be no place for hatred, no place for jealousy, no place for ill will in the hearts of members one toward another. The same law that makes one a child of God makes him a brother or sister to every other child of God on the face of this earth. Every other one. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. You see how closely love of the brethren is associated with the purification of the soul? The Holy Spirit puts that in very close connection there. You've purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Fervently love one another from the heart. How does fervent love behave? Love for the family of God should prompt us to do things like bear one another's burdens in Galatians 6 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Rejoice in the family gatherings. Acts 2 and verse 44, you know, all of those people who believed, who became a part of God's royal family on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ, all of those who believed were together and had all things in common. That's an amazing thing. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. What I do in my sphere of activities around my brothers and sisters in Christ should be something that pokes you. Pokes you. Not in a way to make you mad and upset. But it nudges you, it pokes you, it gets your attention, it urges you on for something. What? Retaliation and evil? No. Nothing like you find outside in the world. It provokes you and it nudges you to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, the Holy Spirit says. And when assembling together, encouraging one another. Do all we scripturally can to keep the family faithful. As members of the royal family, we don't want anyone to slip through the cracks, to drop off the edge, to drop out, to go away and never come back. Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves, that you too will not be tempted. James said in James 5, 19 and 20, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. If I go away from Christ, I should expect to see you in my face trying to pull me back, trying to get me to come to my senses, trying to save a soul from death. Interests of the family. Physical families have interests in which all the members are to engage, but in like manner, members of God's family are to be gravely concerned about royal interests. Well, what are the royal interests of God? What is God interested in? Is God not interested in the spreading of the gospel? His power to salvation for people who, if they continue on the course that they're on today, will ultimately face a bad judgment with God and be lost? He's concerned about those too. If we're truly interested in the royal realm, we'll be spending time, money, talents, prayers, concerns, everything about us on spiritual interests. many could be won for Christ if we will bear the royal name before them to the best of our ability. The family has a great future if you think about it. A greater future than being a part of any family on this earth, wouldn't you think? 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." We are the children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. John says, we don't know fully what the future is going to be like. We don't know fully what it's going to be like to be with God in eternity. We're not given those details in a full measure. We know something, though. John says, goes on to say, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him just as He is. We will see Him on a basis that there will be similarities between us in some respect. As faithful children of God, we shall one day be gathered with other family members of God, all of us together, where the circle will never be broken. We cannot imagine or describe that glorious spiritual body, but we'll be like Jesus Christ when He appears at His second coming. That's what John affirms here, and other places in the New Testament do as well. At that time, the true identity of the children of God will become obvious to all who see. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Isn't that great? Isn't that a glorious concept for the child of God to contemplate the reality of? Oh, what a wonderful day it'll be when we can see that as a reality. And we don't have to just think about it and look at it with the eyes of faith any longer. It'll be real. It'll be true. It'll be wonderful. Peter spoke of that precious inheritance. He said in 1 Peter 1, 4 and 5, "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable." You know, every inheritance that people obtain from their families today will dissipate in some way or another. Sometimes it dissipates within a matter of hours. Sometimes in a matter of days. Maybe a week. Maybe a few months. Maybe a couple of years. It all depends on the nature of the recipient. Sometimes it just dissipates so very quickly. The writers of the gospel describe one that doesn't. It is imperishable. It's undefiled. It's not corrupt. There's nothing that can touch it with corruption. It's pure and holy. It will not fade away. You know, story after story, someone obtaining a huge inheritance and how happy they are and how great it is and what a big celebration they have, and later on down the road you don't hear anything from them. You wonder what happened to them. They disappear from the scene. The excitement doesn't surround them anymore. It's like they just fade away because they take that inheritance and start spending it. And sooner or later, it's gone. The eternal inheritance does not fade away. And you know another good thing about it that Peter says? It's reserved. It's not like a great seat in a stadium for your favorite concert or your favorite sporting event or your favorite theater production. It's not that at all. But it's a place reserved in the presence of God with other family members in the royal family. reserved. And where is it reserved? In heaven, Peter says. And who is it reserved for? For you, Peter says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And you can hang your hat on those words as a member of the royal family. We can say with the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. What's the big deal about that, Paul? Well, in the next verse, in the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Well, that's great, Paul. That's great for you. Because of who you are and what you are, you're a great apostle, you're strong, you're courageous. That's good for you. What about me? I don't have those accolades. Well, he doesn't leave me out because he goes on to say, after he says, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And that's the members of God's royal family. We love his appearing. Watching all the publicity given to the British royal family and public events in the Commonwealth has created a great excitement in this country for all things royal. It is my prayer that a look at the royal family of God today has created and regenerated a great amount of excitement for all things divinely royal in you. May God bless you for being here today. Thank you for listening to my words. If you're in our assembly and you want to become a Christian today, you can do that. As a believer that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be a member of God's royal family. If you will do what he says do in his words, to repent of sins, to confess him before men, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, you can be a part of the royal family. And we can help you do that this very day, if that's your desire. Please come to the front and let us rejoice with you while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.